On this week's FPL Happy Hour,
West Ham, we are fucking massive.
Tibbles he's got his catnip out and everything.
Yeah, for those who don't know what Rob is talking about, go on. Hello and welcome to FPL Happy Hour, episode 24 of season 3 with myself, Sham, otherwise known as FPL Two Guys One Cup on Twitter.
And myself, Rob, otherwise known as FPL Panda.
Rob, how are you this week?
Yeah,
better than last week?
Oh, my FPL score last week was pretty good.
And oh, pretty no, good. Non-FPL I'm talking about.
All right, yes. Yes, it was... I would say it was quite enjoyable being at White Hart Lane on Saturday evening, but yeah, it was unnerving with how angry the supporters were.
It must be the like a really hard feeling to be sitting with the home end supporting the away side.
Yeah,
I've done that before and I fucking hate it.
Yeah, I wear my jacket like up here and then I hum along to the United songs. And then when the goals go in, it's kind of a yes rather than full blown cheering. And when who was it? Oh, when Romero had his goal disallowed, obviously everyone's jumping around cheering. I'm just like, yeah, good goal, good goal.
Yeah.
And then when it was disallowed, I was just like, yeah, that's why I didn't celebrate, because it was obvious it was offside. it was good, much more positive performance. There's still a few bits. It took a bit of time to settle in. I think it took United about half an hour. In that first half hour of the game, Spurs had a couple of chances. Other than that, yeah, they were in control for most of the rest of the game. McFred dominant in midfield. You don't hear that. Complete opposite performance of what they did last week. Fred even got a shot on target, which means it's a special day.
and FPL-wise, solid as usual?
Another solid week. I think it's probably finished on 58 points for the week. Another 100k rank rise. Looking good at the moment. I'm not sure if that includes the auto subs though. So.
And as for West Ham, we are fucking massive.
Tibbles he's got his catnip out and everything.
For those who don't know what Rob is talking about, go on Twitter and check out West Ham clips. Fucking amazing. Have you watched it this week? Did you see the die rolling around? That was the best bit.
I hadn't even noticed that. When so obviously watching the game, and then you see it all kick off, and I'd missed the original challenge. I think I was looking at my phone or something, and missed the original challenge. You see it all kick off. And I was just thinking, oh, it's... like you don't know what it's about, and then because what's his face? Who was it? It was Marvellous in the Camp. No, it was Marvellous in the Camba, wasn't it?
Camba, yeah, Fornals.
Fornals is still on the ground, and the Camba's like rolled off to the other side of the pitch. You don't even know. I didn't realise there was them two involved. I thought it was something with Fornals.
But for those who haven't seen it, Fornals and Nakamba came together. Nakamba rolled around like he'd been shot.
It's like Neymar and, a few years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, and West Ham Clips, who basically does, voiceover edited videos and then takes the piss, had Nakamba like all over in different scenarios doing that role. You have to watch it. Just go on YouTube, just go on Twitter, West Ham Clips, and watch yesterday's commentary. Very, very, very good. But yeah, another victory for West Ham, 4-1 win, and FPL wise doing well. 66 points, I think I finished on, including Liveramento's auto sub, which is good. Well, as we're there, I might as well talk about my team for this week, and then we can talk about yours. So made up a little bit for last week's disaster. So I think I finished on about 80k, 90k overall rank now from 220, which is a good little rise. After my auto subs on 66 points, main performance for me. So I had Rafinha and James doing the business with two goals and three bonus points and the clean sheet, which was great. To have, you know, two goals and assists from a defender was amazing. Armstrong was there as well with the 5 points. I had started Mbeumo and I was like checking my phone every couple of minutes to make sure that if he'd been subbed on, because it was like the night, like I think it's 80th minute, and I was like checking, then they did their third sub and I was like, thank fuck for that. knowing that Liveramento would come in before him. So Aspilicueta wasn't starting and didn't come on, and then Mbeumo was first sub and Liveramento was second sub, so that's what I was waiting for. So 66 points and a big rank rise to 90k.
Could have been a lot better.
What could have been better?
Well, you could have picked the right keeper.
Yes, I forgot about that. I had Ramsdale sitting on my bench for 10 points and I started Foster.
I mean, a lot of people have that Ramsdale Foster combination, and no one any other day, like Leicester win that game 4 or 5-2.
Yeah.
Ramsdale was just having one of those days where nothing was getting past him. I was impressed with
every season I don't do the two keeper thing just because it fucking pisses me off. I always choose the wrong keeper. So from now on, I'm just going Ramsdale and just leaving Foster on the bench. Even if they're playing whoever, I'm just starting Ramsdale.
I mean, I like having two keepers because you can rotate. As long as you pick the right two, you can rotate through the fixtures, etc. Which, when I originally, at the start of the season, I picked my two, Gaeta and Sanchez, and I thought I'd have been wildcarding before now. And, yeah, so I wasn't expecting to get to last week with Sanchez against Liverpool and Gaeta against City, but that leads us on to my team. It worked out all right. I mean, there was method behind the madness of starting Gaeta away to City rather than Sanchez at home to Liverpool, or was it the other way around?
They were both away.
Well, there was method behind the madness, like You'd probably have expected Brighton to maybe get something out of it rather than Palace, but yeah, it was all because of the uncertainty over the Chelsea defenders. If Chilwell or Rudiger didn't play, then I would have had Veltman coming in, which if I started Sanchez, I wouldn't have been happy about having a double Brighton defence against Liverpool. So I purely started Gaeta just to make sure I didn't have that double Brighton defence, and yeah, got quite lucky with it. Nice 7 pointer, and he picked up a save point as well, which was good. Chilwell, Rudiger, clean sheets. I mean, I had haul off Chilwell last week. It's maybe a little bit of regret going him over James. Over the last couple of weeks now, but I'm happy with him. It's not anything to panic about. Cancelo disappointing, with only 2 points. Saar 2 points. Mount didn't play, so I had Gray coming in tonight with his 2 points. Salah, as along with everyone else, for his 10 points. Well, for his 5 points. But everyone got 10 points. 5 points for Ben Rama. Huang, 2 points. Antonio, 2 points. And then I had Viva Ronaldo for his goal and assist for a 12-pointer, which if it wasn't for that, it would have been a less than average game week. That 12 points from Ronaldo's what sort of boosted me up a bit, because he is still relatively high owned, but not in the sort of sub 200k ranks. A lot of people have moved on. Well, they moved on to get Lukaku and then have then moved on to elsewhere, either Kane or wherever. So yeah, I'm not sure I'm going to be getting rid of him now. The plan was obviously to go from Ronaldo to Lukaku for this run. Then it changed to going from Ronaldo to Kane next week or this week. But I'm just not too sure about it. So I might keep him in against City and see how I feel after the international break. But then the fixtures, I mean, I'm not taking him out before United play Watford. And I mean, Chelsea's Chelsea. That's one. But I could potentially take him out for a week and bring him back the following week. In quite a nice position with that. Nice. So yeah, nice green arrow at the moment from 320 to 216, so just over 100k green. So at one point, I think even overnight, it was down to like 120k, which would have been really good. But obviously the Jimenez goal must have pushed it up a little bit this evening.
Right. So the agenda for this evening, we're going to go through one to watch like we normally do this week. So myself and Rob have chosen a player each that we like for the next few game weeks. And normally we do two hot topics, one of our own and one from Twitter. However, we're just going with the one tonight because it's a bit of a meaty one. So we put a poll on earlier about three different topics a hot topic to discuss, and the one that won was West Ham and Antonio. Should we jump off Antonio? And I guess West Ham in general, which I can talk a little bit about, and then we'll go through comparing Antonio's stats to other strikers and whether or not we should be jumping off Antonio, because a lot of people are for this fixture on. Right, let's go through the ones to watch first, Rob. So we've chosen a player each based on the eye test and from the game week just gone. Obviously, there was no eye test for your player, Rob, because he didn't play. However, I'm guessing you have chosen your player, which is Reguilon, for the upcoming fixtures and what may come. I chose my player, which is Conor Gallagher of Palace, because they've got a decent fixture on coming up. And I really liked the look of him over the weekend playing against City. He was up and about it. The last few weeks, he's been quiet. However, I really saw him kind of come to life over the weekend in the City game. And he was kind of everywhere around. And I really liked the look of him. So, why did you choose Reguilon, Rob?
Well, it's purely because there's a certain Italian that looks like he's about to take charge at Spurs. I mean, we're at the moment about 10:30 on Monday evening, and there hasn't been any formal announcement yet, but it all seems like there is a deal there, and there'll be some form of announcement maybe first thing in the morning of Antonio Conte going to Spurs. And we know that he likes to play a 3-5-2 with high attacking wingbacks, and between Reguilon and Emerson Royale, who I also think could be a solid pick. But I think with Reguilon, you've got that. We know what he's about through last season. We know that he gets high. He swings crosses in. He's a bit of a creator. He provides a lot of support. Like last season for Sun down that left hand side to allow Sun to kick on, to play almost as like an inside forward. I think it's a bit of a gamble with how shoddy we saw Spurs at the weekend. But I think that they'll have Conte will bring some solidity to at the back, which they've needed. They'll probably end up going Romero, Sanchez and Dier at the back. So that three at the back with Royale and Reguilon either side. And then Sun will probably almost play as a second striker or as a striker. So he'll have that sort of freedom to bomb up the left, as will Emerson Royale down the right-hand side. I just think it's one of those where if you're looking at fixtures coming out, Everton were very poor again for best part of an hour this evening. We're still missing Calvert-Lewin. They look like they're going to, until he's back, they're going to still continue to struggle for goals. And it could be worth having a punt on Reguilon even this week, because his ownership's still going to be at rock bottom. It's currently at 9.2%. I wouldn't be surprised if it goes down this week because of returns for defenders that have come. So people are going to be moving on to other defenders. So, yeah, it might be a good time to jump on whilst he's so low owned and still cheap. But it is a gamble, like I said.
Yeah, with Gallagher, the main reason was fixtures. So over the next few weeks, so they've got Wolves at home, Burnley away, Villa at home, Leeds away, and then United away, Everton at home, Southampton at home, Watford away, Tottenham away, Norwich at home. Really good run of fixtures all the way up to game week 20 there for Palace, with only, I would say, one tough game, which is United away, and you could say Spurs away as well. Other than that, really good run of fixtures. Gallagher only 5.6 million. And based on the stats that is on YouTube, so for those that are watching on YouTube, you can see his stats of Gallagher and Reguilon on the screen. Rob Q, there we go. we've got, this season so far, 3 goals, 2 assists, 21 shots, 9 of which are on target. Decent, I would say, for a 5.6 million midfielder, I think those stats are good. He's playing every game, he's starting, and he scored again on the weekend against City. I think he's a really good option to look at.
I thought you started talking about Smith Rowe then for a minute. Yeah. He scored again at the weekend against City as well.
So for those that are looking at maybe, I know you're looking at downgrading from Benrahma, Rob, and some may be going off Benrahma, some may be coming off Rafinha, coming off Gray, for example, with Everton's run of fixtures coming up now. I think Gallagher's a really decent option at 5.6. And I agree with the Reguilon shout. I think at 5 million, he's worth a shout. Maybe not this weekend. I think we need to have a look at this weekend, see what formation they go in. I know you were saying 3-5-2, and probably will be. See how high up the pitch Reguilon is playing. And then, you can get him in time for that good run of fixtures the week after, the 4-game run of fixtures.
I mean, it will be interesting if Conte does come in, they go straight into that 3-5-2 because of the lack of training. Obviously, they'll train, would have trained today. They'll train Tuesday. They'll train Wednesday before travelling. Or are they playing at home? They'll train Wednesday. They obviously won't train Thursday. and won't train Friday, and then they'll train Saturday. So they could potentially only have two training sessions.
Spurs are away this weekend.
Oh, on Thursday.
Oh, on Thursday. Oh, I don't know actually. But they might be at home. I think they're at home this weekend. Yeah, they're at
I've
home.
got my program sitting somewhere. But there's still, so there's two, potentially only two training sessions that Conte would take. Would he move into a 3-5-2? Move them into a 3-5-2 in two training sessions? I'm not sure. Because it's obviously it's a big change, but he might do. We don't know.
Right. Okay. So those are two players for you guys to have a look at over the next couple of weeks. Right. Let's move on to our big meaty topic, and that is the fucking massive West Ham. I guess specifically Antonio. Let's talk a little bit about West Ham first. So for those that are regular listeners, know that I'm a big West Ham fan, a season ticket holder. We are playing unbelievable football at the moment. So proud of the side. Such great support as well at the moment. Everyone's really buzzing. You know, we beat City in the cup for the first team to do so in like 4 or 5 years. Fourth in the league at the moment, level on points with City. Morale is high. We're bringing in great youngsters. Ben Johnson's playing fantastic at the moment on that right-hand side. But we come into a tough run of fixtures now, and a lot of people are kind of maybe doubting West Ham, saying, you know, they're playing really well, but actually they haven't faced many of the big sides at the moment. You know, they've faced United and lost. And now we come into the next few game weeks where we've got Liverpool, City, Chelsea, Arsenal, and Brighton over the next 7 game weeks. So tough games. So just to go through that fixture run, so we've got Liverpool at home this game week, then Wolves away, Man City away, Brighton at home, Chelsea at home, Burnley away, and then Arsenal away from game week 11 to 17. And people are looking at getting rid of Antonio. Obviously, value's been brought up, and he started at 7.5 million, and he's now, I think, 8.2. So a lot of people have got value tied in him. Now, before we go on to the stats, and Rob, you've put together a good stats table that kind of compares Antonio against all the other premium strikers, as well as a table that will compare him against players for you know, around his value,
Well,
8 million or
not the
less.
premium sh strikers, the
Premium
top,
players.
yeah, top performing attacking assets, shall we say.
So we've got two different.
He is one of the premium strikers,
Yeah,
8.2.
exactly. Yeah, and that's what I was about. That was what I was about to say. So, we've got two different tables to compare him to. What I asked Rob for. So initially, Rob put together some data over the last kind of since the beginning of the season, and what I said to him is if we can change it to the last 5 or 6 game weeks, just because the first 5 game weeks, Antonio was on fire and on top of everything. And I didn't want to skew the data. So I didn't want it to be an, I guess, an unfair representation. So people have been saying his form over the last 5 game weeks hasn't been good. So I thought, okay, well, let's compare his stats over the last 5 game weeks, because that will be a fairer representation. So let's talk about eye test before we go into stats. Obviously, we scored four over the weekend, and Antonio didn't even get a single return. And a lot of people within the community I saw were being pissed off about that, kind of like Havertz-esque the week before when Chelsea scored seven and Havertz wasn't involved. Thing is with Antonio, he's that ramming ball at the front where he was unlucky not to get two assists. He was kind of the assister of the sister twice yesterday, and he was really unlucky not to be involved. That happens from time to time. You get that. The way that his stats are, the way from an eye test point of view, he's a premium striker in a mid-price, premium price, I would say. He's performing as good as in a 10 million striker, and he's only 8 million. I don't understand why you'd want to get rid of him. It is my honest opinion. I know we've got tough fixtures, and some people, you know, are really fixture based and are kind of like, well, I want to attack these fixtures. The problem is, I will say at the moment, who are you going to go for? I don't think there's many places that you can go that you can find someone that's going to perform as well as him. You've got the likes of Tony, who's got good fixtures, but I genuinely think that Antonio could perform the same as Tony, if not outscore him over the next few game weeks. And I'll say the biggest problem that you'll have is come game week 18, West Ham have an unbelievable run of fixtures, like amazing. And you're going to want Antonio back. So from 18 all the way to 27, we've got Norwich, Southampton, Watford, Palace, Leeds, Watford again, Leicester, Newcastle and Wolves. What a great run of fixtures that is. And with in six consecutive fixtures from 18 to 22, Norwich, Southampton, Watford, Palace, Leeds, you're going to want at least one or two West Ham assets during that side time. So you're going to jump off Antonio now, lose 0.3, 0.4, whatever that you've gained from him, and then have to buy him back at 8.2, 8.3 in six, seven game weeks. And I just don't see the point of doing it. You might as well hold him, even if you want to bench him against the likes of Liverpool, City and Chelsea. Not that I'm condoning benching him, because I don't think there's any point, but you're going to lose a lot of value doing it that way. From an eye test point of view and just a general kind of understanding being a West Ham fan, I don't think it's the right time to get rid of Antonio. I don't think you should be getting rid of him. He's worth every penny. We will score goals in this time. I can see us scoring against Liverpool on the weekend. And if we score, he will be there or thereabouts within the goals. And no, he didn't score yesterday when we scored four, but generally he is there or thereabouts. What do you think, Rob, before we move on to stats?
You can see that he's everything still goes through him once it gets into the last third of the pitch. He's very much the start of most attacks. I think there's been a slight difference where it may be a confidence thing from other players, the likes of Benrahma, Bowen, Fornals, getting past him. And so that obviously, like we saw yesterday, that then takes the returns away from him. But we know that there's still potential there. I think against teams that play sort of a low block against them, he'll return. It's teams that are pushing high, like yesterday against Villa, they were pushing. I mean, they were chasing the game, so they're having to push high, and obviously takes Antonio further away from the goal. And he's become a lot more intelligent about when he uses that pace and that power, because before he was maybe overexerting himself and then ending up with injuries. Like we joke every week about, oh, will this be the week that he pulls his hammy in the warm-up? But it doesn't seem to be happening, because he's not making pointless runs he doesn't need to make when they're winning games 4-1. Like at the end of the day, like he knows he can take it easy and kind of cruise through the rest of the game. But there's other moments, like against Spurs last week, he'll just pop up and score a defining goal for you, which he has done in a few games this season. So I think he's maybe adapting slightly, and it's probably something that David Moyes is quite conscious of, because there is no backup. When he got the red, I think he got quite lucky that he only got the one game, so it meant he only missed one game, and you could bring him straight back in. I think if he's missing for sort of 3, 4, 5 games, I think you'll suddenly find that West Ham struggle a little bit and maybe fall behind in that that race for the top four, just purely because there's no other player that will play that role as he does in that team.
Yeah,
we saw last year when he was injured, Souček kind of played as almost like a false nine, so they had that target man up top. But he's not going to give you what Antonio can give you, is he? So at the end of the day, that's my view from an eye test point of view at the moment.
All right, let's look at the stats then, and let's look at premium players first. So obviously you put this together, so for the benefit of those on the audio, if you want to have a look on YouTube, we've got the stats table all kind of like laid out with all the premium assets. So you've got stats for Salah, Vardy, Mane and Son here comparing against Antonio. The first thing to kind of note is Salah smashes every single stat, is,
well, not every single one. There's a few.
90%.
Most of them. Yes, most of them.
So we haven't Rob hasn't highlighted all the ones that kind of he's on top of, just because it would just be a sea of highlighted stuff across Salah. So how does he compare to everyone else apart from Salah?
So apart from Salah, let's just quickly run through it. So points, obviously, Salah, it's the last five weeks, 62 FPL points is insane. absolutely insane. The closest to him out of this group is Son on 30. And then Antonio got 20 points in that time. He's actually got the least FPL points out of the five of them in this time. Antonio is fourth out of the five. He's only ahead of Mane. Goals, he's joint fourth with Son on two goals. Obviously, Salah with six, Vardy with four, Mane with three. No assists, which Salah's obviously got four assists in that time. Son's picked up an assist. Shots. So obviously this is like one of the important ones. We want our striker to be taking lots of shots, or our attacker to be taking lots of shots. So Salah's taken 20 shots in the last 5 weeks. Antonio has taken 18. So he's getting off almost as many shots as Salah is. Salah's four shots every 90 and Antonio 3.6 every 90. Very similar numbers between them. I mean, after that, it's Vardy on 2.9. He's taking more shots than Jamie Vardy is. And a lot of people are saying, oh, try and get the money to go from Antonio up to Vardy. And I'm not entirely sure of that, because Vardy played less minutes and taken less shots. Shots on target in that time, Vardy actually wins out with five, Antonio with four, Son with five as well. Antonio's shot on target percentage is actually the least out of everyone, which is another sort of a con next to his name rather than pro. Shot creating actions, he's got 28 shot creating actions, which is more than Salah, more than Vardy, more than Mane, and more than Son. Son was the closest to him on 22. Goal creating actions, he's on three, which beats everyone apart from Salah. So, I mean, just though stats are like shots, shot creating actions, goal creating actions, tells me that he is getting involved up at the top end of the pitch. Maybe just being unlucky or not with the shots on target probably not clinical enough, which we may, like at the start of the season, like he was, if we go through the first four games of the start of the season, he took 10, 15, 17 shots whilst seven of them were on target. So slight increase there in like his percentages. So yeah, maybe he was just more clinical at the beginning of the season than he is now, when he's taking those shots. I don't know. Finally, just going to non-penalty XG, because we have got some penalty takers in here. Over the last five, Antonio 2.5, Vardy 2.9 is the best, other than Salah on 3. XA, Antonio is the best, other than Salah, with 1.6 over the last five to Salah's 2.5, giving a expected goal contributions per 90 of 0.82, which is the second best, after Salah's 1.1 expected goal contributions per 90, better than Vardy, who's on 0.8, better than Son on 0.64, and better than Mane on 0.53. So that tells me that in the last five, and it's quite clear, like you can clearly see that apart from the returns, like the actual returns, everything else, he's more or less on par with Vardy at 2.6 million cheaper.
And then some will argue, you know, oh, well, West Ham have got a really tough run of fixtures coming up, as we, you know, spoke about earlier. So it's worth jumping off Antonio. I would say in return to that, that West Ham at the moment can return against anyone. And Antonio, to me, I think is fixture proof. I would not be surprised if we score a goal or two against Liverpool on the weekend. Well, I'm not saying that we'll win. I'm not saying we'll win. But I wouldn't be surprised if we scored a goal or two. If Brighton can score a goal or two at Anfield, why can't we score a goal or two at the way that we're playing at the moment? And you'd think Antonio might be involved, right?
Yeah, these sides, they aren't invincible sides. They're great sides. Like, I mean, I said last week that in Liverpool, Man City and Chelsea, we've probably got three of the top four sides in Europe at the moment. But they're beatable. We saw Palace outplay Man City for long periods of the game the other day. Dominate probably wasn't the right word, because Man City did have a lot of the ball still. And we saw, Brighton just not give up against, showed a great resilience against Liverpool to come back and grab a point from being 2-0 down. So, yeah, the teams that, if West Ham play like they have done, like they did against Villa, like they did against United earlier in the season, they're going to, like how they played against Spurs, like the way they were, I mean, against Spurs last week, very compact, hard to break down. Hard to get in behind. They do that against Liverpool and City, they'll get results. Like, if they perform to that level, I'm confident they can. It's whether Antonio is the one scoring the goal, or whether he's going to be assisting the assister or being part of the build-up play, which is, I mean, that's the probably standout stats from there, is XA. It's almost as high as his XG.
But even if, right, let's say if you got, one of the main reasons why I want to keep Antonio at the moment is because I want him for that fixture run from 18 to 22, and I don't want to lose 0.7, right, value that I've got on.
You lose what, 0.3? You'll lose 0.3.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't want to lose 0.3, right, of value that I've got in him. I don't know what the state of the team will be at that point, whether or not I'll be able to afford to bring him back in, etc. In the 7 game weeks leading up to them, do I think that he could get 4 returns out of 7? Yes. Do you think that that's worth it then? Of if he was to get, let's say, I don't know, 20 points, if he can get 20 points out of the next 7 games, or 25 points, is that worth it at 8 million? I think so.
Out of the next 7?
Yeah.
I'd probably want 30.
What, 4.5 points a game?
Yeah. So I'd want in there, say he didn't return against City or Liverpool, you need a double digit haul there.
Well, yeah, I guess
you'd need,
well,
like even a, if you look at, you need a sort of a 10 to 15 pointer in there, where he gets a couple of goals, maybe an assist. Can I see him getting a brace and an assist? Now, he did it in game week 2 against Leicester. So against not a bad team, although Leicester in game week 2 were a very different team to Leicester now. But yeah, nonetheless, he got 2 goals and an assist in that game. But other than that, like, though, I mean, if you take away those first 3 games where he scored 4 goals and got 3 assists, there's not much that would lead me to say he could haul. Yeah. That's my concern.
But I'm not looking for him to haul from now for the next 7 game weeks. I'm just happy for him to return 4 out of 7, and I would be happy. Personally, I would be happy if he was to return 4 out of 7, and then I've got him for that run where a lot of people might have gone off him and not be able to afford to get him back for that first game week against Norwich in game week 18. Unless those are wildcarding, then, you know, you're in an advantage, Rob, where you could get off him now if you wanted to, if you're not worried about value.
And wildcard him back in at 15.
Yeah.
Which,
doing that if you want to.
That's something that I have considered, because even if I don't wildcard him back in 15, I could go with someone like Jesus or someone like that as part of my team in 15. And then in 16, I could bring Antonio in.
Well, yeah, 16, he's got Burnley away, and then 17, Arsenal away, which, you know, I don't think Arsenal away is a bad fixture. And then that's in 17, and then 18, you've got in Norwich. So for those wildcarding in 16, you could get off him now. So over the next 5 game weeks, you're avoiding Liverpool, City, Brighton, Chelsea, and then you bring him in for Burnley in 16. Don't mind that if you want to do that, but then obviously you're losing money from him. Genuinely, out of Liverpool, City, Brighton, the game that I'm most scared of is Brighton. And you might laugh at that, but we've got a terrible record against Brighton. Like, we cannot ever beat Brighton.
Now it's okay if there's a drop of 0.1, it's once it goes less. If he drops 0.2, that's when you start losing that value again.
Yeah.
Now that's the problem, because if he then blanks for another, if he blanks again this week, then there's that international break where a few people will be hitting that wildcard button even then. I don't think, if he blanks again, I don't think he'll be over 35%. Maybe even more. He could drop even more. And that's when we'll be looking at that week going in, week going into game week 12. He could potentially drop at least once.
Well, let's have a look at how does he compare against players from price, you know, similar to him. So, you know, if you're coming off Antonio, who are you want to you know, who do you want to go to? And we've got a comparison on the screen now of Antonio compared to Tony, so Maximum, Jimenez and Malpai, because these are the kind of players around Antonio's value. How do his stats now compare to these players, Rob?
Obviously, we're obviously not going to go through all of Antonio's stats, but he still outperforms all of those other players, apart from probably Jimenez. It obviously doesn't include Jimenez's points or goals or any of his stats from the game this evening. But obviously, he beats Antonio since game week six. He beats him on points scored. He'll level up with him on goals. He's also got a couple of assists in there as well. I don't know about his stats for shooting, but I doubt Jimenez took 12 shots tonight. So Antonio still...
No, he only took one shot, I think.
Got it on target. So there's 100% shot accuracy for Jimenez from tonight.
One shot on target. I don't know how many shots.
Okay. Yeah, and I mean, Maupai went off injured a couple of weeks ago, so he misses a game and a half's worth of stats there because he didn't play at the weekend. St. Maximin, I thought, had looked better than he actually does. But I mean, these are forwards that are less than 7 million, apart from Jimenez, that you're going to be paying more on. These are all forwards that are less than 7 million. You're not expecting huge amounts of returns, and like 16 points from five games, 3 points a game, just over 3 points a game from St. Maximin. You'd probably take that, wouldn't you? 3.3 points a game from your nothing forward, or would you want more on average? Every three games they score.
Yeah, I'd rather have Antonio over the next seven because I think he'll do more than that.
So why are we beginning? Okay, this then brought me to, why are people going Antonio to Tony?
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. It's the fixture run, isn't it? Brentford's fixtures over the next few game weeks are really good, and that's the reason why Brentford have got Norwich, Newcastle, Everton, Tottenham, Leeds, Watford over the next six, and their fixture run, and they're kind of looking at what Tony could bring. Not that his underlying stats have kind of showed that he's anywhere near that, whereas the difference is that Antonio's underlying stats show that he's in and about it and should be returning, but he's getting unlucky and his fixtures are difficult. Whereas Tony's are saying you shouldn't be returning, and he's not returning, but his fixtures are good.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, we've got to also say West Ham are a better team.
Yeah.
Like, I personally think they are now one of the top five teams in the country.
We're fucking massive, I told you, mate.
Well, you're not massive. Like, Champions League, mate, yeah? Champions League. You playing tomorrow night? No.
maybe next season, mate. I wouldn't be surprised if... I wouldn't be surprised if we win the Europa League. I would not be surprised.
I think you'll win a trophy this year. Whether it be Europa League Well, Roma could go out of the Europa League. Spurs could go out of the Europa League. Leave West Ham probably as the favourites.
Well, no, conference, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, they're in the conference league, aren't they?
We're favourites at the moment. We're
favourites for the Europa League.
Yep, 10-1.
British bookies,
yeah.
Yeah, so I always, because with like the betting markets, obviously they're going to be, it's like England always go into a major tournament, it's like second favourites, because every Tom, Dick and Harry goes and sticks a tenner on them.
Yeah, at the moment
it always gets weighted, doesn't it, slightly towards the home side with our bookmakers. Anyway, on to Yeah, if I was coming off Antonio now, the one player I'd be going to is probably Jimenez.
Yeah, I don't blame you for that.
That's a fact, actually. It would be, if I'm not going up to a Vardy, a Kane, a Son, where there is the sort of form and fixtures, well, form for Vardy, fixtures for Kane and Son, then I'd be going to Jimenez, who, I mean, Wolves have got this a reasonable run where they play Palace next week. Then they play West Ham at home. They've just won two home games on the bounce. So, it's not an easy fixture for West Ham. But then they've got Norwich and Burnley, one after the other. And that brings him, like, if I didn't already have Hwang, if I was an Antonio owner looking to come off him now, I'd be going, yeah, let's have a pop with Jimenez. Because he looked sharp. And he took his goal. His goal tonight, he just took it so well. And it was a bad pass back, but he threw one-on-one with Pickford, just dinks it over him. Just like, let's Pickford make the decision. And we saw a couple of times at the start of the season where he maybe took that shot a bit too early, like almost a bit hasty, like too hasty to get his shot away. And now he was the size who he knew exactly. You could see what he was going to do. Gave Pickford the eyes, let Pickford make the move, and just dinked it over him. And against Norwich, it could be a haul. Like, it could be, like, the Wolves have got their tails up, the Wolves have. I think where Antonio in game week 13 against City most likely won't get a return. Like, I'm not saying he won't, he most likely won't. Whilst Jimenez, I'd say he probably has over 75% chance of getting a return. Maybe over 90% chance of getting a return against Norwich.
Yeah, I think, you know, in summary, for me personally, I wouldn't be coming off Antonio. I understand why people might want to. And like you say, Rob, Jimenez could be a good option. But, you know, you lose that value in that time. You're going to want him for that good game week run from game week 18, even 16 Burnley and then Arsenal in 17 is not bad fixtures. I personally think he's worth sticking with. He can return in any game. Yes, we've got a tough run of fixtures, but I can't see why he can't return and why we can't score based on the way that we're playing at the moment. I guess you kind of agree with me on that, Rob.
I agree with that. My concern is that value disappears.
Yes.
I think it's a turning point kind of at this stage of the season to be owning him. The fixtures turn. If he gets a couple more blanks, that ownership's going to drop massively. And we can see Jimenez there at 0.6 less. We can run away, bank, 0.4 million. We can get that banked because by the next deadline, the game week 12 deadline, he could potentially drop by 0.2, maybe more. And we can afford the 0.1 drop. But once you get to the 0.2 drop, then that's when the value starts disappearing. And all it takes is for someone else to do well in game week, go crazy in game week 11, or go crazy for their nation in the internationals. And then suddenly that becomes a bit of a big, big problem going into a game against Man City. So I think it's a case of, I think if I didn't own Hwang, I'd probably make that move, like, now. I didn't own Hwang. But because I own Hwang, I think it's a bit, I'd be kind of wasting the transfer
What about King? Do you want Wang and King? Wang King? There's a little joke there.
No. After our scout community team failed again, we shouldn't have picked that name. But yeah, so I think you kind of, it just worries me sticking around for that long.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I think we've done the subject to death. You can make your own judgment based on the information we provided.
I mean, I'm lucky that I have, like, with West Ham, I've got Benrahma there, which is, that's more a priority than Antonio, I think, to move on.
To move on, yeah. I get that. Right. Okay. Let's have a quick look before we wrap up, Rob. What are you thinking about doing this week, transfers wise, or anything? Have you got any plans?
It's going to be Benrahma. So yeah, it'll be Benrahma onto either Smith Rowe or who's the other one I said earlier? God, who did I say? Mbeumo, that's it. It's most likely going to be Smith Rowe. Arsenal's fixtures. Let's bring it up. They've got Liverpool, but then they've got that Newcastle game in 13. They've got Watford in 11.
You've got Watford, yeah.
Yeah, then Liverpool in 12, Newcastle in 13, United in 14. I'm happy to play them against United. There's potential there for two hauls because of the way that they're lining up with him playing right behind, almost alongside Lacazette. It's kind of like Aubameyang as a number nine, Lacazette behind with ESR and Saka either side of Lacazette. But they've all got a license to sort of push on, move inside, swap around with each other and all sorts. ESR, I think, is the... he'll be making a return into my team since January? Croydon De Bruyne. Probably won't captain him, though. I think there's an Egyptian that I need to keep captaining him.
Do you think there's a debate for captaincy this week with Salah away to West Ham?
I think there's other players you could go for. I think people that took the punt on Havertz, it could be a sort of a last chance saloon and roll the dice on him one more time. Like, he could do that. It's not really... unless you've got Kane or Son and want to just go for the new manager bounce, there's not much there that says to me, yeah, let's do it, let's go for it. Obviously, if Lukaku was there, I'd be all over Lukaku this week. But I wouldn't be going, like, Ivan Toney, I wouldn't be backing him against Norwich. Not against, like, because we know that no matter what, the effective ownership of Salah is always going to be over 160-170% now.
It was 199% this weekend.
Yeah, the only way it's getting higher is either more people captain him or people start triple captaining him. Imagine that week. The worrying thing is, like, we all know now that we're going to be triple captaining Salah on the same week that everyone else triple captains him.
Yeah.
Like, because otherwise it won't be any fun using that chip. Because you'll always be, if you use it before everyone else triple captains him, then you're always going to be sitting there waiting for that week that everyone does. It'll be a case of just the triple captain chip, just use it the same time everyone else does this season. There's no one really. Ronaldo? Nah. He might though. It was a good goal.
I don't know what I'm doing with my team. Have you got any ideas? I really don't know what to do.
You got free transfer?
Two free transfers.
Oh, so you've got to burn one.
Yeah, so I really don't know where to go. 1.3 million in the bank. So options that I was considering was, so my plan next game week is, depending on if Conte comes, is to get in Son. So I was looking at going Havertz to Son and downgrading Diaz or Aspilicueta down to someone. So I could do Aspilicueta down to Chilwell. I could do Diaz down to someone else. I want to keep James and I want to keep Cancelo. Other option is upgrade Armstrong to Tony.
I probably wouldn't be doing a Chelsea defender to Chelsea defender.
Okay.
This week, purely because after this week, their fixtures get a bit tougher. They've got Leicester, they've got Man United. The next three, Burnley, then Leicester, then. Anyway. Yeah, so if I was coming off Aspilicueta, I'd be wanting to go on to someone that has a decent run coming up, or someone that I can get some free up some funds somewhere else, and that could be where Pontus Janssen or Pinnock come in, or Rico Henry,
or Reguilon.
I'd go with a Brentford defender. Just go Aspilicueta down to a cheap Brentford defender.
So the only problem that is almost feels that... like a waste, because I'm going to want to bring in, if I think Tottenham play well next week, I'll probably do Reguilon and Son in for Havertz and Aspilicueta next week. So it's really tough. Like, I don't know whether or not to. What do you think of Armstrong to Tony?
But you have two free, so it's more or less a 1 week punt. And I think Aspilicueta's is a big problem. Armstrong, I'm not sure I'd take out ahead of Villa at home.
But do I want to be taking out Aspilicueta now against Burnley at home?
Is he playing?
Well, I hope so.
he probably won't know. That's the thing. Isn't it? Because he'll play midweek and get rested at the weekend. Or he might not get rested because of the international break. That's the thing. And this is what now worries me with Chilwell. Like, will Chilwell play at the weekend? Because he'll probably play in Europe, and Tuchel might go, oh, this is an opportunity to stick Alonso in. It's one of those where you really want Chelsea to be the first kickoff of the game week, so there's a potential to get a leak from somewhere.
And it's a Friday deadline as well this week, with Southampton and Villa on Friday night.
I'd stick on Armstrong. I think it would be a bad idea to come off him against what is a really good. I think in my FDR on the screen, for those on the video, it's only rated a 12. I'd probably rate it around a 15 or 16 at the moment. Like, personally, just from over the lot, like, this uses form from the last six games, as well as some other bits and bobs, and I'm just going off the last two or three games. I'd probably bump it up to a 15 or 16, which makes it a very good fixture for Southampton.
I'll have a
Aspilicueta to someone and have a punt.
All right, I'll have a little think. Any other business, Rob?
Let's have a quick look at the league table as it stood before the Wolves-Everton games. In 10th, District at 695 points, or three of them on 695 points. There's him, Safer Tashkey, and Joseph Sumsoto, all on 695. That's massive. How many points have you got in total?
I have about 650, I think. I'll double check. 666 I have.
Oh, so you're not actually that far behind them.
No, about 30.
And I'm about 15 points behind you.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Okay. I can still win this. Then.
Oh, that's without my 6 points added on, actually. So that's 672 auto subs.
Right. So yeah, there's those three. Then Scott with 701 points. Greg Cook was 703. In fifth, Nate Harvey on 705 points. In fourth, Pontus Gunlick, 709 points. I'm really sorry if I've murdered anyone's names. Tom Glover on 712 points. In second, James Twiddy on 718 points. And miles ahead of everyone's still is John Leaf on 741 points, which must put him up somewhere in the top 1K somewhere, that many points. Yeah, really good starts to the season for all of them. Right.
He's 264th in the world at the moment.
I was going to say 264K.
No, 264.
Playing backwards.
Right, we're recording, doing a live stream for you on Thursday at 9:30.
Yep, Thursday at 9:30. We'll be going through the results of the free hit challenge. We'll be having a look at upcoming game week fixtures. We have some press conference news, and we'll be doing a Q&A whilst also revealing our locked in teams, or at least giving what our planned move is if we're not, because you're rubbish at doing that.
I am indeed. Right, for those listeners and watchers, thanks for tuning in. You can find us on Twitter, FPL_happy hour. We're also on a number of podcasts, including Spotify and iTunes, and our YouTube channel is FPL Happy Hour. Please like, subscribe and share, and all your retweets are really appreciated. Until Thursday, we'll speak to you then. Bye-bye.
Cheers, guys.